Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, saints of God. Hope you're all doing well. As for me, a little bit better, thanks to the Lord. Well, I'm in studio to finish our series on full-blown revival in Samaria. I have an introductory song entitled Harvest of Souls. Harvest of Souls.
In a little town in Alabama, where the fields are snowy white, a farmer sits in wonder, gazing at all the work in sight. With his hands scratched and bleeding, he cries out with this prayer, God send help to my open door. In a town in Indiana, on a vacant Sunday night, a preacher prays and wonders how to fill the chairs inside. With his voice cracked and weary, he cries out with this prayer, God send help to my open door.
If you listen to the song, there's a series of questions. The first one is, who will go? Who will go into the harvest field? That's how we ended our teaching yesterday. But then there's a second question is, who will reap what has been sown? Who will reap? So someone has already done the preliminary work. Someone has already done the sowing. Someone will come later on and finish what someone started. You start by sowing. You finish by reaping. So the question is, who will go? Whom will God send into the mission field of St. Johnsville? And who will reap what has already been sown? Let's listen to the song. It's a beautiful song.
There's a harvest of souls ready for me and you. In a little place in Bethlehem was a child sent forward along. Now his mother cries and wonders as he's nailed to the cross. And she wonders,
who will go?
And who will reap what has been sown? Who harvester is calling, but the laborers are here. There's a harvested soul ready, ready for me and you. Ready for me.
That song by Ginger Jarrells has shot up all the way on my song list. I love the song. I love it. In fact, it has to do with what we're teaching today, what we're looking at today from the life and the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to John 4 as we're talking about full-blown revival in Samaria. John chapter 4, starting at verse 35, we'll be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. The ESV is an academic translation. If you are a university church, which Grace is, Grace Church is filled with teachers, filled with scholars, and the ESV is right up our alley because we love academia. We love learning at Grace Church. We are not a church that dumbs people down. No, absolutely not. On the contrary, we are disciples of Christ, lifelong students. So the ESV is a wonderful translation if you are biblical in your thinking. All right, John 4:35. These are the words of Jesus.
Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Now, look at verse 38. And this verse speaks to me today. If it speaks to anybody, it speaks to me. I hear Jesus saying to me, Michael, I send you to reap that whereon you have bestowed no labor. In other words, Jesus is sending me as pastor of Grace Church to participate in an ingathering of souls that I really had no dealings with. Let's read that again, verse 38.
For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
See, in other words, what Jesus is saying, he says, I'm sending you in now, but you did not till the ground. Michael, you did not till the ground. You did not sow the seed. You did not cultivate the fields and removed all the weeds when they needed to be removed. Here you are at the tail end. I send you now to do the last portion, for others have come before you and have done all the work. You are entering into their labors. You are finishing what they started long ago. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. So, let's continue reading in verse 39 through 42.
Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world."
Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, and we praise your name. Father, may we never be filled with arrogance or pride. May we always remember that soul saving is teamwork. That no one person comes and does it all. It takes a group of believers to win a soul. Some sow the seed. Afterwards, some come and they water the seed. The words, someone comes and reaps what has been sown. So, Father, bless this study today, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, give us understanding by means of the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Guide us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I send you to reap, says Jesus in John 4:38. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. In other words, I'm a Johnny come lately. I haven't done the work. Someone else did. I'm going to give you three examples of this, three from the Bible. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, this Philip being one of the seven deacons who is now running evangelistic crusades. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And Philip arose, and he went, verse 27. And behold, there was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. This man was a Jewish proselyte. A proselyte. He wasn't a Jew by religion. He was a proselyte by religion. In other words, half in, half out. You're halfway saved and you're not saved. A proselyte. And having come to know the God of Israel, but not the Savior of Israel. He knew God the Father, but he didn't know God the Son. Because that's what Judaism does. Judaism brings you to Judah, the tribe from which Messiah will come. But Judaism never takes you to Jesus. And without Jesus, you're not saved and I'm not saved. So this was a Jewish proselyte, a student, a devout member of the Jewish religion. So here's a black man, an African, and he travels 1,500 miles to come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting upon his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Holy Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran to the man and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you read?" And the eunuch replied and said, how can I except some man guide me? And the eunuch desired for Philip to come up and join him in his chariot. The place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who has declared his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, tell me, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet? Does he speak of himself or of another man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture to preach Christ unto him. And as they went, they came to a certain body of water, and the eunuch said, see here, there is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So notice, here's a guy who is visiting Jerusalem. He's on a 1,500-mile trip from the capital of Ethiopia. He's traveling north to Jerusalem. He's a Jewish proselyte. Someone has already sown the seeds, but all he's got is Old Testament. He doesn't have any New Testament. All he's got is Judaism. He doesn't have Christianity. He doesn't have Christ. So someone for years was already sowing seeds. And now Philip comes and he reaps the harvest. You see, God is calling me and you. There are so many of us new to St. Johnsville. If you're new to St. Johnsville, God is calling you and I to go to St. Johnsville to reap where others have already labored. For years and years and years, there have been mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, Christians, friends, co-workers, neighbors, telling their neighbors, telling their friends, telling their co-workers, telling them about the Lord. This has been going on for years, and those people have not budged. The seed was sown, but there was no conversion. Now Jesus says to his disciples, I am sending you to reap what you did not sow. Other people have spent decades praying, talking to people, witnessing to them to come to Christ, and they never did. But now is the time. I send you now to reap, to scoop up, to gather what other people have been taking care of for decades. Do you understand, saints? It's harvest time in St. Johnsville. It's harvest. You have a sister. Let me give you an example. You have a sister who's praying and believing God for the conversion of her brother year after year, decade after decade, and nothing. She sows the seed. She waters the seed. She waters the seed with tears before God in prayer. And then what happens? One day, that brother who doesn't want to hear it, one day he wants Jesus. One day he's like the eunuch. He's in his chariot. He's going nowhere fast. He's going back home empty. And God sets up a divine connection, and there is Philip. Philip comes and he finds the man reading. He doesn't know what he's reading. He doesn't know who the prophet is talking about. And it just happened to be that he's reading out of Isaiah 53. He's talking about Jesus. And Philip begins to share Christ with him. And all those seeds that were sown, this eunuch, listen, this eunuch was prepared. So, how does someone in Africa, 1,500 miles away, we're talking about a period where there's no radio, no television, no internet. It's not like today that this internet broadcast, people can pick it up anywhere around the world. Back in Philip's day, there was no internet, there was no radio, there was no television. God sowed a seed in this man's heart, and the closest he came to Christ was Jerusalem. That's the closest he came. And on his way back, still confused, not knowing the gospel, having bought a Bible, he's reading where God wanted him to read, and the Holy Spirit sends Philip and says, that man needs to get saved today. You are going to reap what you did not sow. Someone has already done the prep work. Go get the harvest. I'll give you another example. Let me give you another example. Go with me to Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band that is called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house. And he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, look at verse 2. Look at the description of verse 2. He was a devout man, which means that terminology, again, is pointing to the fact that he is a Jewish proselyte. He's a devout man. He fears God. He gives much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers have and thine alms have come up to God as a memorial. Now send men to Joppa and call for one whose name is Simon, and his surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou art to do. Well, what happens? It's a divine connection. This guy, like the eunuch, this Roman centurion, Italian, he's a what they call down in New York City, he would be called the Guido. He's an Italian guy. He's not black. He's not like the Ethiopian. Notice the ethnicity of the Bible is highlighting ethnicity. He's an Italian guy. He's not Jewish. He's a Jewish proselyte. He has drawn as close to God as he can be, but he's not in. An angel tells him in a vision, listen, you need to hear Simon Peter. He's got to preach to you. He'll tell you what you need to do. Simon Peter comes, preaches the gospel, Cornelius and his house get saved. But notice, Cornelius already had prep work. Someone had already sown the seed. Someone had already been witnessing to him. Why? Because he was a devout man. He already had the fear of God in his heart. But listen, giving money to the poor doesn't save you. Being devout doesn't save you. Having good morals doesn't save you. You got to come to Christ. You have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That he hadn't done. He had gone as far as he could with the seeds that were sown in his heart, but now go fetch. Send some of your men to go get one named Simon Peter. Not Simon the Tanner. Don't confuse the two. Simon the Tanner is not Simon the preacher. Go get Simon Peter the preacher. He's going to come to you and he's going to share Christ and you're going to get saved. But notice, my brothers and sisters, the prep work was already done. It was already done. Now, Acts 16. Let's go to Acts 16. This is a scripture that we referred to yesterday. Acts 16:14. There was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. There it is again. Another Jewish proselyte. Another woman who obeys the laws of Moses. John 1:17 says, the law came by Moses, but grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. So she had half-truth. The seeds were already sown. And it was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. She worshiped God. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Notice, someone, she was at a prayer meeting. How do you know she, Pastor, how could you say she was at a prayer meeting? Well, read verse 13. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the riverside where there was a prayer meeting going on. And we sat down. And we spake with the women that were sitting there. And one of these women was Lydia. So the prep work had already been done. Close to the kingdom of God, but not saved yet. Loving God the Father, but knowing nothing about the Son. Seeds have already been sown. People are ready. The people are just, they're at the cusp. They're like the eunuch. They're like Cornelius. They are like Lydia. They're right there. For years and years and years, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, co-workers, neighbors have been sowing seeds in the hearts of those around them. And God is saying, it's harvest time. I'm sending you now to do the ingathering of the seeds you didn't sow. Someone sowed them 20 years ago. Maybe, perhaps, those seeds were sown in Sunday school. I remember I attended one of the services at the nursing home. The nursing home ministry went, and I was talking to after the service, which was beautiful as always. I was shaking hands with some of the people, and I was asking people, do you know the Lord? Oh, yes. And I said, well, what church do you go to? And a lady said to me, I was raised at Grace Church. I went to Sunday school at Grace Church. That's where the seeds were sown. Years prior, seeds had been sown, and now we are reaping the harvest. So Jesus says in John 4, look at John 4 again. I want to go back to that text. In John 4, the Bible is amazing, saints. In John 4:38, I send you, this is Jesus speaking to all of us, I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. What is revival? Revival is an ingathering of souls. It is the reaping of souls. I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. You didn't work on any of these people. Philip never met the eunuch. Never met him. They never had a conversation. They never sat down as stewards together to have a cup of coffee and share the gospel. But the angel of the Lord said to Philip, hey, go down to Gaza. And then when he got to Gaza at the intersection, the Holy Spirit says, you see that black man on that chariot? Go join yourself to him. He's ready. They've already sown the seeds. I want you to do the reaping. The same thing with Cornelius. Peter and Cornelius had never had a conversation. Never. But someone had already sown the seed. And Peter was sent to reap in a field where he had bestowed no labor. And that's me. I'm coming to St. Johnsville. And you know what I am? I'm the last person on the line. That's all I am. I'm the last. In other words, people have already done the majority of the work. The majority. All I'm doing now is coming in to pick up, put in the sack, the ingathering. The ingathering. Ingathering. my brothers and sisters, we're going to have an ingathering of souls. The prep work has already been done. And you know what else? Last year, if you notice, last year we did no evangelism. Last year we just watered. Last year we spent from April to October, every weekday at noontime, praying for a harvest. We didn't have a major harvest. We maintained what we had. But there was no major harvest. We just maintained our steady course. But this year is different. This year the Lord says, I send you to reap in fields you did not labor. Go get them. Bring them in. Because now when they come in, like the eunuch and like Cornelius and like Lydia, they're going to stay. See, Jewish proselytes went to Jerusalem three times a year. It's like most people who claim to be nominal Christians. When do they come? Oh, they come in Easter, and then they disappear for the remainder of the year. They'll come for Christmas, and then they disappear. They'll come for a wedding or for a funeral, and then they disappear. Well, when there's a true revival, people are just not proselytes. There's a permanent ingathering. Once they come in, they stay in. Why? Because they've been connected to Jesus. So, full-blown revival in Samaria? Sure. There'll be a full-blown revival in St. Johnsville. I'm going to play that song again, Harvest of Souls. If you want to look it up, the young lady's name is Ginger Jarrells, J-A-R-R-E-L-L-S, Ginger Jarrells. The feature song is Harvest of Souls. Listen to the words. Let them minister to you in Jesus' name.
In a little town in Alabama, where the fields are snowy white, a farmer sits in wonder, gazing at all the work in sight. With his hands scratched and bleeding, he cries out with this prayer, God send help to my open door. Sunday night, a preacher prays and wonders how to fill the chairs inside. With his voice cracked and weary, he cries out with this prayer, God send help to my open door. Now his mother cries and wonders as he nails to the cross. And she wonders, who will go? Tell me now, who will reap? the harvest is sown, where